Okay, so yeah, I'm testing them at Aleph at the bottom, our second line from the bottom. Okay, we started discussing like this. We're still in the middle of talking about Treifus. We're going to be talking about the question, which kinds of chaylev within the abdominal cavity are able to seal up a hole in an organ. We know the Mishnah has told us that there are a number of organs inside the body, that if there's a hole in them, the animals chafe, but some of those organs are covered with fat. So the fat might be able to seal up the hole. So which kind of fat is it that has that property that's able to seal up a hole?
There's no fat. What's the...
Well, if there's no fat, then there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to seal in it. So then we have, okay, with the lung, we talk about that maybe the chest wall can seal it. Well, there has to be something there to seal it is the point. If it's just that the organ itself healed, if it's just that the organ itself, that the scar tissue over the wound, we said that's no good. Krum shalom machmas maka, we said is no good. So it would have to be that it would have to be again. Maka in any kind of wound, yeah, whatever, regardless whether it was caused by trauma or whether it was caused by disease or what have you, as usual, we don't care about that. Anyway, whatever it is, so by way of introduction to that, we started talking about the discussion, what's the general rule of what kind of fat inside the animal you're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. So in Torah terminology, I don't know, more like Dennis, let's be honest, seems a little dim in here. Thanks. In Torah terminology, you just have the word chaylev generically for all kinds of fat. Yeah, okay. So not more imagination, I guess. Right. So Torah terminology, in Chumash terminology, it just uses the word chaylev for all kinds of fat. In the Chachamim terminology, you talk about chaylev versus shuman. Chaylev being what we can't eat, and shuman being what we could eat. So we started discussing, we said that there's a certain kind of fat that is on the kava, which is on the kava being the full stomach of the animal, which is similar to our stomach, it's where digestion actually takes place. You have a certain kind of fat on there where the kohenim, who regularly eat the kava, because given to them as the zeroi l'chayayim the kava, they have a minute to be master it on the basis of what Rabbi Shmuel had said in the name of his father. Because we're going to talk about that. There's different kinds of fat there. That's what we're going to get to now. We're going to get to the discussion. What is the definition? What kind of fat is and isn't mutter?
Is it the kind of fat that's not mutter, or is it an area?
That's what we're going to see. Hold on. We're going to say kind, but that's hold on. We're going to see. So then we digress to talk about that Rabbi Shmuel actually helps out the Kohenim in that he says that when they give their Kohenim to us, then they get the same bracha from Hashem as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, says they get a different bracha. Anyway, so that's where we're holding two lines from the bottom and then testing it out. So Rabbi Shmuel, Sha'om Mishum voice of Maihi, what's this thing that Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his fathers, which was saying that the Kohenim eat the fat on the kava in accordance with that opinion? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now you have the Pasuk described in several places in Parashas Vayikra. It describes the chaylev that's offered on the Mizbeach. Generally speaking, the rule is whatever chaylev is offered on the Mizbeach is also the chaylev that we're not allowed to eat, although there are some exceptions. For example, one of the things they offer on the Mizbeach from a sheep is the tail, but you're allowed to eat the fat of the tail. It's not also as chaylev, however it is offered on the Mizbeach. But in general, it's the same thing. And the Pasuk mentions, So the Pasuk mentions like this, that you have to take out from the animal and offer on the Mizbeach. It says, it's a chaylev hamachases a kerev. It says the chaylev that covers the kerev, which means the digestive system. The es kol chaylev asher al kerev, and all the chaylev which is on the kerev. So what does that add? So what does that come to add? Lahavi chaylev shal gabiat dakin dibur Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says that comes to include the word S, or the word V'es, actually, it actually explains elsewhere, comes to include the chaylev, which is on the dakin. Now, dakin, there's two possibilities what it means. One is, Rashi brings from a Gemara, now this isn't the main place in the Masechta where we're going to talk about chaylev. The main place we're going to talk about what chaylev is allowed and not allowed is going to be later on in the Masechta, in the Tzaddik. But the Gemara mentions over there that the first amma of the intestines, you have to scrape the fat off of it. That is chaylev sha'al adakim. You actually have two opinions among Rishonim what that means. Does it mean, so like this, you have after Reish me'ayah, the beginning of the intestines, the amsa, at an amma's length, boi grira, you have to scrape the fat off it. So there's two possibilities what that means. And what it means, okay, what, so you're asking, instead of asking, listen, you know. So, okay. What it is like, you have the four stomachs of the animal. after that, after the food goes through the four stomachs, after that, it starts going into the intestines to get to finish getting digested. You have a part over there where it goes straight. You have a part at the beginning where it goes straight for a little while. That part in English and in medicalese is called the duodenum. And then that's where, you know, we've learned before about the mara, about the bile from the gallbladder. That goes in there, that breaks down fast and whatever in that area. You have other digestive juices get in there, whatever. And then after that, you start getting to the coolie parts of the intestines. The one possibility is resh me'aya, means that part, that area, the duodenum, you have to scrape the fat off it. The other possibility, it means it's the other end of the intestines. Eventually, you have, after the intestines wind round and round, and you have the large and the small intestine or whatever, eventually you get to the rectum, through which the waste is going to go out of the animal, which we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. So the other possibility is that the resh me'aya that we're talking about over here is that end of it that you need to scrape off the fat. Whatever it is, so Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says that the words ve'es kol ha'chelev asher al ha'kerev, the words ve'es kol ha'chelev asher al ha'kerev, says Rabbi Shmuel, are coming to include the fat on the dakin, on either the duodenum or the rectum, as the case may be. Rabbi Akiva, I'm a lohavi chelev sha'al ha'keva. Rabbi Akiva says it comes to include the chelev which is on the keva, which is the chelev that we're dealing with over here. So here's the keva.
Also,
that's a different thing. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the words that kol ha'chelev asher al ha'kerev are referring to the resh me'aya, either the duodenum or the rectum, as the case may be. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not talking about that at all. Rather, it's talking about the chelev which is on the kerev, on the fourth stomach. And as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, you actually have two areas. You have a couple of different sheets and a couple of different areas of fat on it. You can see it in these various pictures over here that you have. In particular, we're going to talk about soon. You have a fat that's on the greater curve and on the lesser curve. We're going to we're going to get to that soon. But see, yeah. Okay. So that's the braisa. So we see that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says you can't eat the chelev that's on the kerev, that's on the keva, that's on the fourth stomach. And Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says you can. So therefore, when we said at the beginning, we said that the Kohenim have the minhag to eat that chelev that's on the keva. In other words, again, they receive the keva as one of their matnas kohuna, because zroi l'chayayim v'keva. They have the minhag that they eat the fat on it because they're basing themselves on Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that he said in the name of his ancestors, that is Moses. Yes, the Gemara says a Ramini. I have a contradiction because another Braisa says when the pasuk this that we said what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's opinions are. Another Braisa says that when the pasuk says as a chelev asher al kerev, it's really as kol chelev asher al kerev. When the pasuk mentions all the chelev which is covered, all the chelev which is on the kerev. So what is that adding? If it already said as kol chelev amachase as a kerev, all the chelev that covers the stomach. So Rav Shimon says what it means is like this. It means that we're basically learning by a mamatsinu. We're taking that as a binyan av to learn from that what is the definition of fat, what is the definition of chelev that you're not allowed to eat. So ma chelev hamachase as a kerev krum v'niklas, just like the chelev that covers the kerev has a krum, it has a membrane to which it's attached, the niklas, and therefore it's able to be peeled off. You can see an example of it in this picture over here. This is actually about the kidneys, but fine, the fat of the kidneys is also chelev, but you see over here, there's this membrane over here. Yeah. Over here. There's this membrane attached to the fat. So therefore, so afko krum v'niklas, the same thing, any fat in the body where there is that membrane on it, where the membrane can be peeled off the chelev, and therefore it's not so tightly attached to the chelev, says Rav Shimon, that's the definition of chelev that you're not allowed to eat. They're returning to therefore, Rav Shimon says, that's what we're learning when it says es kol ha'chelev asher al ha'kerev, means not just the fat that is on the kerev itself, but any other fat in the body that has that property, that has a krum, that has that membrane on top of it. So it means, in other words, it means in the various places on the stomach, but it also means in other places also, for example, the kidneys. Rabbi Akiva says a little differently. Ma chelev ha'machata es ha'kerev toisav krum v'niklas. When it comes to the fat on the stomach, it's not just that it has a krum, which can be peeled off. There's also an additional thing about it, which is it's toisav. Toisav, Rashi explains, is the Aramaic word for a garment. Meaning, in other words, that, so what it means is, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, it's not enough that it just it has a membrane that can be peeled off. It also has to be that it's one solid sheet, like a garment that's spread out over the organ to which it's attached. So in other words, it has to be, according to Rabbi Akiva, it would have to be toisav krum v'niklaf. It has to be the fat itself consists of a single sheet. And also, on top of that sheet of fat, you have then a membrane which is attached to that fat and can be peeled off it.
So,
no, well, no, actually what it means is he's more makel there. It means he would, toisav means a garment. Again, it means it's spread out, thin. No, so therefore what it means is, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva would say, when it comes to the chaylev that's on the keva, when it comes to the chaylev that's on the keva, which is what we've been discussing over here, it does have the krum, therefore according to Rabbi Shimon it would be osur, but Rabbi Akiva points out, on the other hand, it's not toisav, because it's not one solid sheet. It's a bunch of individual pieces of fat, and you can see in these various pictures over here. I mean, it looks like a thing of lace, kind of. It's not one solid. It's all attached together using the membrane. It's all attached together because you have the membrane covering it. But the fat itself is not one solid sheet.
What's the difference between that?
I don't understand. Rav Shimon is saying that it doesn't matter whether it's like a sheet, as long as it has the krum on top of it, then it's kiddush. Then it's also. And Rav Akiva is saying only if it's toisav krum v'niklaf, only if the fat itself is one solid sheet, and on top of it you have a membrane, a krum v'niklaf, which can be peeled.
According to Rav Shimon, where would be the krum?
So, for example, you can't see it over here unless you were to actually be handling an actual species, an actual specimen, but the fat over here, all these fats that we're showing over here in these pictures, almost all of them, have a krum which is attached to it. Again, you want to see a picture of the actual krum. Specifically, you can see it close up over here with a different kind of fat. But you see, there's this krum, there's this membrane that peels off the fat. But the fat itself is not one solid sheet.
What is the example of the krum?
The fat of the keva, that's what we're talking about.
No,
that's the thing. That's right. According to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, the fat of the keva is fine. Because that's not one solid sheet of fat. It's not toisav. Mind you, by the way, you have actually one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who learns, actually, that when we say over here, toisav krum v'niklaf, he understands what it means is actually there's actually three layers of such fat that are also the toisav, the fat that it's a full sheet, the krum, the membrane above it, and niklaf, something above that that can be peeled off also. The Mordechai brings a whole all back and forth between him and another one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoel, who argue about that point back and forth. Be that as it may, the point is that Rabbi Akiva is saying that fat is also only if it's toisav krum v'niklaf. Ma chelav amachat as a ked of toisav krum v'niklaf. I've called toisav krum v'niklaf. So the question is, the first bright that we quoted, we said that Rabbi Shmuel is the one who's quoting and saying that the fat that's on the keva is mutter, because not he didn't give a reason why, but he just said that he learned that kolachelav amachat as a kerev refers to the dakin, refers to the duodenum, the straight tube that comes out of the stomach, or the rectum, the straight tube at the other end where the waste goes out, but nothing to do with the keva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who was saying that it includes the chelav on the keva. Here we're telling us in the second brisa that Rabbi Akiva would say the fat that's on the keva is not ulcer, because not choice of krum v'niklaf. So what is it? What does Rabbi Akiva hold? The answer is Shalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Yechanan. Ravin sent a message to the Chachamim in Babel in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Kach hi hatzah shal Mishnah. That second way, the second bryce, the way we learned, that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says it needs to be toast of krum, that it needs to be a solid sheet. We brought a bryce where Rabbi Akiva said, Lahavi chelav shalakeva. Now we brought a second bryce where Rabbi Akiva is saying that the chelav shalakeva should not be also, because it's not toast of krum v'niklaf. So therefore, the answer is that kachi hasal shal Mishnah, that is the correct way to say the Mishnah, that the second way, that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that the chelav that's on the keret, that's on the keva is not water. The epoch kamaisa. As far as the first braisa, we have to flip the opinions around. Rabbi Shmuel would be the one who's saying that the chelav that's on the keva is water. Rav Akiva would be the one who's saying that's the chaylev that's on the dakin. That's also the chaylev on the duodenum or the rectum, as the case may be.
Otherwise,
you'd have a skirt between the brachos. So the question is, my chazus to afchas kamaisa. Why should you think Davka just flip around the first brisa? Epoch basrisa. Say that the second brisa should be flipped around. That Rabbi should flip around Rabbi Shimon's and Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The reason is shiny hocha. Yeah, but it's different in the second brisa. Kiven to katoni ma. Since the second brisa, you have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva respectively saying ma chelav amchasa tekedem. Just like we learn from the chelav amchasa tekedem that it has a certain property, so also all chelav that also has those properties. So since we're saying ma davka, then it must mean each of them is saying davka. You can't flip around their opinion. Each one is actually in the first brisa. All we're saying is that the word ve'eskol chelav amchasa tekedem. We're learning something from it. We're learning a chelav on a certain organ. So it's very easy to say that the Tanoim, who learned the Braisa, flipped around the opinions by mistake. But in the second one, where you have Rav Shimon pointing out, just like the Chelev HaMachas HaFakerev, it's such and such, and Rav Akiva is saying, just like it has such and such, so therefore it's more likely that the second Braisa is correct, that they got the details in that one.
Opinions?
Because you have the Ma over there, because you have the saying, just like such and such, so therefore it's less likely that they accidentally flipped that around. Okay, so the question is, Ihochi, so if you're going to... If you're going to say that that's how it is, therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel...
Otherwise, you're saying the first verse is wrong and the second verse
is right. So if we're going to say now that Rabbi Shmuel is the one who holds that the fat on the kaver is author, well then what do you mean? Could Rabbi Shmuel? We started by saying on Omer Aleph that we said Rabbi Yitzchak ben Achmeni Omer of Oshia that the Kohenim have the minhag to eat the chaylev shal gabi akeva because they follow what Rabbi Shmuel was saying in the name of his father. According to this, we're saying it's according to Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean? Could Rabbi Shmuel? Could Rabbi Akiva? He is according to Rabbi Akiva, not according to Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is Omer of Nachmeni because it means Omer Mishum Avoyta. Focused on the fact that we said in the first Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel said this in the name of his ancestor.
Meaning,
he himself disagrees with that. Rabbi Shmuel, so his ancestors held, like we said in the end, Rabbi Akiva holds that the fact that's on the Kaiva is Mutter. Rabbi Shmuel himself, so therefore the Kohenim follow that opinion, which is the opinion of the ancestors of Rabbi Shmuel and also of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel himself disagreed with that and said that why not? I mentioned the other day that we had a case in Hilchos Trefus with the lung where the Rambam disagrees with his own father, where he says that my father is Machmer. No, wait a minute. His father is different. No, there's no difference. His ancestor is held that the Pasuk is coming to be Margus such and such, and he learns the Pasuk differently. He's entitled to learn differently. He's a Tana. He's a Tana. He's entitled to learn differently. But Rambam's father was a great Talmud Chacham.
Actually, he taught him.
Well, that's also true, yeah. So yeah, so the Rama mentions in Hilchos Shchita in connection with a certain case of Tzedekus of the lungs, so the Rama mentions that my father is among those who say it's also, and I say I'm among the ones who say it's mutter. Yeah. Anyway, so over here also, so to be sure, this agrees with his ancestors, fine. Okay. So now that we have that whole introduction to the fact that there's two types of chaylev, and some of them, and then there's two types of chaylev in an animal, one which you're allowed to eat and one which you're not. So now let's get to the discussion, which is Negea over here, which is Hilchos Trefus. Amar Rav, Chelev Tohar Soisim, Tomei Enei Soisim. The rule is that only Chelev that you're allowed to eat closes up a hole. So if you have, for example, so we just said, for example, the fat that's on the Kaiva, we said Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about it, whether it's kosher fat or not. If you say it's kosher to fat, then it would mean, okay, so if there's a hole in the kaver and the fat is covering up the hole, so the hole just went through the wall of the kaver but didn't go through the fat, good, then the animal is still kosher. If you say it's non-kosher fat, then no. The kmar would still be the same. Any fat that's mutter, it closes up a hole, and any fat that's not right. But that's according to Rav. Rav Sheshes, Oimer, Echazeva, Echazeva, Soitim. Rav Sheshes says either way, it's considered it closes up a hole. He doesn't need to make that distinction between kosher and not kosher to fat. Boy Rav Zera. By the way, now, later on in the course of the sugya, Rashi seems to say that we don't mean just that it would close up a hole in that particular organ itself. Rashi seems to say later on that it means even if you have another organ next to it, which happens to be, it's next to that fat, then it would also work. The fat would close up a hole in that organ. Tosfos, though, over here says specifically not. That, for example, Tosfos says, if you have, let's say, a hole in the lung, and you have it, it gets stuck to fat or by way of a sircha or whatever, for sure not, because it has to be. When do we say that? When do we say that kosher fat closes up a hole? Only if it's fat that belongs to that organ itself. Because then it's solidly attached to there. It's not going anywhere. But if it's fat from a different organ that happens to be next to this one, let's say, for example, the Gemara is going to tell us in a minute, for example, that you have fat on the heart, which, okay, actually that fat, that particular fat on the heart, the Gemara is going to say, doesn't, even though it's kosher fat, it doesn't close up a hole for other reasons because of the shape of it. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's say, for example, that there was a part of it that could be considered to close up a hole, it would work for the heart, but it wouldn't work for the lung, even though the lung is right next to it. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So Boy Rabzeira, asks the question, Chelev Chayamai. What about, what would be the did as far as Chelev from a wild animal? Now the din is, when it comes, oh, this whole concept that you have chelev, which you're not allowed to eat, versus shuman that you're allowed to eat, only applies to domestic animals. Wild animals, you're allowed to eat all the fat from them. Deer and whatever else, yeah. So then the question would be, in the case of a chaya, in the case of a deer, if let's say, for example, you have a hole in the keres, where the fat on the keres, as we're going to say soon, is definitely the kind that is definitely the kind you can't eat.
In a chaya,
you could eat it. So if a chaya has a hole in that in its keres, for example, in its first stomach, and it's covered up with fat, what would be the din? Do we say davka omar chelav tahor soisim? Do we say that was specifically saying that chelav tahor can close up a hole? Therefore, v'ayin nami tahor. Well, good then. This chelav is tahor because you're allowed to eat it. Or joma mishum de mahadik. Or maybe the reason behind it is because tahor fat, only tahor fat sticks tight. V'ayin loy mahadik, as opposed to chelav tahor, does not stick so tight because we just said before that chelav tahor, we said that it has this krum, it has this membrane above it which can be peeled off. And plus, Rabbi Akiva is also adding that it's toisav, it's a solid sheet of fat. So therefore, we could argue the reason why that doesn't close up a hole is not because it's not allowed to be eaten, but because the properties of it are such that it's not going to close up a hole effectively because it's not tightly attached.
Sure.
Yeah, because of the chroma, because it itself is only like spread loosely over the organ or whatever.
That's
kind of tome we're talking about. Tome that has a chroma and that's spread loosely over the organ and can be easily peeled off. Yeah.
Kind
of tar does not. Kind of tar sticks tightly to the organ. So therefore, so that's the question. Yes, well, yes. So that's the point. In other words, no. The chelav tahor may or may not be solid, but the more to the point is, it's not easily peelable off the organ that it's attached to, as opposed to chelav tahor. That's what I'm explaining. We said before that Rabbi Akiva said that Rabbi Akiva. So we had Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. They both agreed that chelav tahor has a krum, it has a membrane over it, and they both agreed with niklok, that's peeled off the organ. Rabbi Akiva added another point also that it has to be toisav, that it has to be like a sheet loosely spread over the organ.
No, the word, what tummy and tahor?
Tummy and tahor means tummy that you're not allowed to eat, and tahor that you're allowed to eat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Rabbi Zera's question is it a matter of that you're not allowed to eat versus that you're allowed to eat? In that case, by a chaya, any of it you can eat. Or is it a question of the properties of it, that it sticks tightly or it doesn't stick tightly? Now, well, we were showing him ask, I mean, what was Rabbi Zera thinking? Did he have any reason to think that it should be depending on the dinim of the chelav? Obviously, it depends on the properties of it. So the Rashba answer is that maybe he thought it's a halacha l'mishum sinai that chelav tahor is soisim. Okay, so in that case, it's a halacha l'mishum sinai, you don't ask questions on such things. Okay, it could be like Zera Sakosim, but that's how it is. As long as it's tahor, as long as you're allowed to eat it, then it's soisim, even if we look at the properties of it and it seems to not stick so tightly.
How are you going to know it's chelav tahor and chelav tahor? I mean,
what do you mean, how are you going to know? Is it choice of krum v'niklah? Is it, we just established, is it choice of krum v'niklah?
Physically, what's choice of
physically krum? Means that can you peel it?
Not
all chelav has a krum. If all chelav had a krum, then all of it would be awesome. Some fat in the body has a krum over it, some doesn't. Some fat in the body is tightly attached to the organs, some is not. So therefore, it has to be choice of krum v'niklah in order to not be allowed to be eaten. We're going to talk later in the Masechta, in the Tzaddik, we're going to talk a little more detail about what makes chelav tamei and tahor. But them are the facts. There are the different kinds of them. I mean, they're all fat. They're all made out of the same fat molecules, I guess. But they have these different properties as far as having a membrane and as far as how easily they're peelable.
It doesn't.
Okay, so you'd have to go to a shlachtoys, I guess, and try out with the different kinds of fat over there. Okay. But that's how it is, in other words, that you have the chelev that's tome can be easily taken as a sheet off the organ. And here you have an example of it where the whole thing peels off together, versus the tahor fat, it comes off as little bits. So yes, yeah, so, you know, note that as a sheet of fat that comes completely off the intestine. So yeah, that's how it is. Okay. Fine. So anyway, so that was Rabbeinu's question. Amar Abaye, my tiboilei. Abaye says, what are you asking? What's the point of your question? Nihi de shori b'achila. Of course, chelav of a chaya is mutter to eat, because the Torah tells it's only by behema. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat it. The fact is, haduki la ma'adif. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't have the property of being able to stick tightly. Therefore, yeah, it can't seal up a hole. And that's the halacha. That whatever fat is not considered a good seal when it comes to a behema. That kind of tome and you're not allowed to eat it, but also it doesn't seal up a hole. But even in a chaya, even though you're allowed to eat that particular fat, it also doesn't seal up a hole. Because even though you're allowed to eat it, but if the animal wasn't chased. But because the animal is chased, because the animal has a hole in one of its internal organs, the fat doesn't help seal it up.
It's
a matter of reality rather than a matter of the status of halacha in halacha of that particular piece of fat. Right. No, right. So, I mean, that's the shlachtos people. Yeah, I mean, you have a whole area of halacha. You have a whole area of kashrus called nikur, which is nikur involves taking out all the fats and all the various other things that you're not allowed to eat from the animal. Nowadays, also the gidanosha and everything. So nowadays, in many countries, in particular in the United States, meat is plentiful enough that they don't do very much nikur. Most of the back half of the animal, which is pretty much where all these kinds of chelev and whatnot are, they just sell it to goyim as straight for meat. But in other places, and in Eretz Yisrael, for example, where meat is a lot harder to come by, so there they still have menachrim work on all these details and remove all these individual fats and membranes and all these and the gidanosha and everything and all that sort of thing. But obviously it raises the price of things, but that's how it is. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, many svarim on this topic, many svarim on the topic of nikur that have been written all the way from the time of the Rishonim until nowadays, describing pashut blow by blow. When you open up the animal, you'll reach in over here and you'll find this and this particular bit of fat, and that's chelev, and you have to take it out, and you'll find that particular blood vessel, which you have to cut, and you'll find this and this nerve, which you have to remove, etc. I'll give a blow by blow description, pashut. Okay.
The fat goes to the garbage.
So the fact, I mean, I don't know what they do with it nowadays. I mean, the chelev that you're not allowed to eat. Right, so that's what I'm saying. So in general, nowadays, in the United States at least, the whole back half of the animal is sold to the goyim, and they do whatever they want with it. I don't know if they keep fat in it, or they...
Let's say store what they do.
So they have, so what do they do with fat afterwards? I don't know. It could be they throw it in the garbage, could be they use it. Yeah, I mean, they could give it to post today. They could use it as industrial waste. They could use it for, I don't know, whatever. No, doesn't that, no. The keva as a whole belongs to the kohen. Nowadays, actually, it's not very common to give the zoriel chayayim the keva to kohenim for reasons that we'll talk about when we get to that topic in a few months, Rez Hashem, towards the end of the Masechta. Yeah.
Why don't you have to differentiate in the front of the animal between the feather?
Because in the front of the animal, you don't really have keva tummy. That's how it is. That's how it is. All the various chelavim tmeim are all in the back half of the animal. Back half, like starting from the diaphragm or starting from the middle of one of the ribs or something. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, that's how it is. All right, onward. Okay. Fine. So continuing the Gemara, Hahu nekev b'sos mechelav tome. There was a case with an animal that had a hole in one of its internal organs, and then there was chelav tome covering it. So for example, there was a hole in its keres, let's say, and there was chelav tome closing up the hole. The osel kamei de Rava, so the shaila was brought to Rava. Amar Rava, so Rava says, well, my nefesh law, why should we think that there's a problem? Of course it should close it. Chada de hamar Rav Sheshes chelav tome nami soisim. Number one, we have Rav Sheshes' opinion that even chelav tome works, and Rav Sheshes should be great enough for us to be able to rely on him. Okay, so he disagrees with Rav, so. And second, v'oida, Torah chosam amonim shayitzol. Number two, in general, we have the Torah is, the Torah is concerned about Jewish money that shouldn't go to waste for no reason. So if we have reason to argue that it's kosher over here, we have fat covering up the hole, why should we think that it's today? That's the omelet of Papa la Rabba. So the Papa says to Rabba, what do you mean, Rav? First of all, you're talking about the opinion of Rav. And second of all, the Yisura Daraisa. Second of all, you're talking about there's a question over here in Isur Daraisa. We should go according to the opinion that's more machner. You want to say that we should be makel because I've heard a chotam amonim shayitzur. You can't do that. And in fact, the halacha is like, in fact, the halacha is like a papa rather than like what Rava thought to say. In fact, Tosfos points out the Gemara itself is going to show us soon that Rava himself changed his mind. Okay.
So the halacha is.
So the halacha is like, but the halacha is like Rav, that it's also unless you have chelav tohu closing up the hole, then no good. Another example, similar to that, so this has nothing to do with Hilchos Shreifus per se, but we're bringing it in because of a similar kind of thing where Rava thought to be Mater something and he was told that you can't do that. So the case is like this. Minyomin Kanduka, Minyomin, whatever that was the name. Kanduka means the person who makes jugs. He was a potter or whatever. He'd make jugs in small containers like that out of earthenware. Igli lay bistika de dursha. One time he had a container of honey that was left uncovered. And we know in many places in Shas that you have a problem. When liquids are left uncovered, you have a problem that a snake may have come and drunk from the liquid. We learned about it in Avodah Zarah. It comes up in the here and there throughout Shas. And then, therefore, it may have put venom in it. It may have injected venom into it. It would be dangerous to eat it. Nowadays, we're generally not choshish for that because, in general, nowadays, we don't have snakes among us. But, yeah. And then halacha is still brought in Shulchan Aruch. What's the matter? Okay. So anyway, so that was the case. This Minyomin Kanduka had a jar of honey that was left open. Also a Kameh de Rava, so he comes to Rava to ask if he's allowed to use the honey or not. Amar Rava l'may nechush lo. So again, Rava says, why should we be concerned? B'pashtus, there shouldn't be a problem. Chada, the tznan, number one is because we learn in a Mishnah, in Masechet Shemot, Shloisha mashkim asur mishum giloy. There are only three kinds of liquids that if they're left uncovered, then they're asur, because a snake might have drunk from them. Hayayin v'hamayim v'acholav, wine, water, and milk. Ushar kol ha-mashkim utarim, all other liquids are mutar, because the pasta snakes don't drink from the other liquids. V'oid, and also we should be mekel, because that's Torah chasam v'mayim shari yisrah. Same logic as Rava wanted to use before. But again, Amalei Rav Nachman Reitzchuk to Rava, so Rav Nachman Reitzchuk, who was also a Talmud of Rava, says to him, what do you mean, Rav Shimon, v'sakonas nefashas? You have the opinion of Rav Shimon going against you. And you have, this is a case of possible sakonas nefashas. So for the same reason, and before we said it was a matter of d'oraisa, here it's a matter of sakonas nefashas, so you have to be machmir. So ba'atamat ha-terachot ha-mamonim she'yitro. Rav Shimon Maihi, where do we see Rav Shimon's opinion on the subject? The Tanya, because we learn in a braisa, chamisha ein behem mishum giloi. A braisa says there are five liquids, not just three like we said in the Mishnah. There are five that you don't have to worry about giloi. Seer, fish juice. V'chaymes and vinegar, shemen, oil, udvash, honey, umurias, which is also a kind of fish juice. Basically, the difference is seer is the juice that comes out of the fish themselves, like after they're salted or whatever. Murias is like the mixture of water and salt and sometimes wine and other ingredients that they would preserve fish in. Anyway, so those five, Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, no, Afein Yesh Behen Mishum Gilui. No, those five, there is a problem of Gilui with them. The Omer Rav Shimon, so again, I said it a little wrong. The Mishnah had mentioned that there are three, that there is a problem of Gilui. The Braita says there's five that don't, which are a different five than the original three. But Rav Shimon is saying, all five of those that you, Tanakhama, mentioned, there is a problem of Gilui with them. In other words, he'd say there's eight liquids that there's a problem in. The three from the Mishnah and the five from the Braita. The Amr of Shimon, and Rav Shimon says, I'll even prove it to you. Anira isi nocha sheshota tzir b'tzaydan. I once saw in the city of Tzaydan, I saw a snake drinking tzir. So if it drunk from it, it might have injected venom into it. So you see, you can't say that tzir is not attractive to snakes. Amr loy, the Chachamim answered him, shat yahava. Okay, that was a crazy snake. But in Ravian Raya, I showed him. You can't bring a Raya from, in other words, it's unusual. Usually snakes don't drink stew. Okay, that particular one, we don't know what was going on in his head. Maybe he was very thirsty, whatever. Whatever it was. The point is that you can't necessarily judge from that to other cases. In general, we can still say that seer is not susceptible to snakes. Okay, so the point is, in other words, that, so Rav Nachman Reitzchuk is saying to Rava, so what are you telling this Minyumin Kanduka that he can have his honey? According to Rav Shimon, it would be awesome. Amalei, so Rava says, okay, fine. Oydili nihas v'tzir. However, at least you should admit to me that, let's say I'll accept your position that when it comes to honey, the halacha is like Rav Shimon, that if you left it open, you can't have it. But at least when it comes to sincere, you should agree with me that there's no problem with it. Dahara Papa Ravuna Breda Rishov Rabbanon, and the Gemara mentions a proof. The Pashtus, this part of the proof is not from Rava himself, because Rav Papa and Ravuna Breda Rishua are Talmidim of Rava. He's not going to be bringing proof from his own Talmidim, what they did. But Pashtus, the Gemara, later on, when Ravina and Ravashi wrote the Gemara, the Pashtus, they added this line. That we see that Rav Papa and Ravuna Breda Rishua, Rabbanon and the other Chachamim of that time, Ki Havel Giluya, when they had other kind of liquid, when they had wine or water or whatever that had been left open, what they would do is, instead of throwing it away, they would pour that liquid into tzir and then be able to use it. The reason being, in other words, Rashi says, because tzir is very sharp, because the juice that comes out of the fish, it's very sharp, and therefore it'll counteract any venom that could be in it. So not only Rava is saying, so you see that the tzir itself is not susceptible to venom, because it's strong enough to burn up and then destroy the venom and deactivate it. And you see that Ravuna and Rapapa Brezir and Rapapa would even use that as far as if they had other liquids that might have venom in them, they'd pour them into the tzir and then figure that'll counteract it. So therefore, at least admit to me that when it comes to tzir, there shouldn't be a problem. That in that, at least the halacha shouldn't be like Rav Shimon.
So it's not that snakes don't drink tear.
It's that the tear is strong enough to counteract the venom, right? Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers back to Rava, Ojuli Mia Bidmash. Okay, but on the other hand, you should admit to me that the halacha is by honey that it's oster, because you have not only Rav Shimon, the Rav Shimon and Elazar, Koi Kavasei, because you have not only Rav Shimon regular, which is Rav Shimon by Yechoi, but you have another Tana, Rav Shimon and Elazar, who also holds that way. The Tanya, as we learn in a Brisa, V'chein Hoy Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oyser B'Dvash. The Rav Shimon ben Elazar also says it's also with honey.
They drink honey, you say?
Apparently. So therefore, so the bottom line is that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is telling Rava, don't think to be matter this guy, this minyumin guy's honey, because you see that not only Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon ben Elazar both hold that honey is also Mishum Gilui. Okay. Fine. Now getting back to Hilchos Tshreifus. Amr of Nachman. So okay, so we just talked about the difference between Chelev Tomei versus Chelev Tahor. We said that Chelev Tomei is not able to seal up a hole, so even if you have some of it draped over a hole, it's not enough to be machshir the animal, but Chelev Tahor is soysim. And we said it's not really a difference between Tomei and Tahor, it's a difference between what kind of fat would be Tomei versus Tahor in a domestic animal, even if we happen to be talking about a chayim. So now, Chelev Tahor actually is attached to the organ, whereas Chelev Tomei is kind of like spread over. Okay, so now let's talk about within Chelev Tahor itself, the differences. Omlev Nachman, Chelev Ha'osu K'Koiva Eine Soysim. Fat that's shaped like a koiva, like a hat, does not seal up an organ. Because again, since it's like a hat over there, it's not so much that it has a hollow in the middle, but the problem is, in other words, that it's like roundish. Chelev Tahor is not like a sheet of fat. So we just said a sheet of fat would be Chelev Tomei, but on the other hand, it's more solidly on the organ that it's attached to, as opposed to you having some places where it's like you have
a web.
Not like a web. No. It's a solid piece, but it's a solid piece shaped like a teardrop or something on attached to the. Yeah. Well, we have examples over here. I think Mo's going to give us some examples. But this is one example. So you have over there this fat over here is not spread out over the whole organ. It's like in pieces, like a hill over here and a hill over here. Droplets, I guess you could say, like that. Yeah. Okay. So those kind are not soysim. Hecha, so they're not soysim. They're chelev tahor. You're allowed to eat them, but nevertheless, they don't close a hole. Hecha, so what are places... Because we said, all chelev tahor is not soysim, but not all chelev tahor is soysim. As if it's Chelev Tomei, it's not. There's nothing to talk about. Right. Within Chelev Tahor, some are, some aren't. Depends on the shape. We never said any such thing. We said that if Chelev Tomei is definitely not. And we said a general rule, Chelev Tahor is soysim, but that doesn't mean it's an absolute rule. Every rule has exceptions.
So what is the absolute rule for Chelev Tahor?
Chelev Tahor, it depends. It has to be not shaped like a koiva, not shaped like a hat.
Okay.
It has not like a, not like a piece like that. It has to be like a flat
like
piece.
A swollen part.
Right. So, hecha, where are places in the body where you have such fat shape like that? Amri lo chiti de kaukesha. Some say that what we're talking about is the grain-like pieces that are on the kaukesha. The kaukesha is the rectum, the last part of the intestines before the waste goes out of the animal. You have little, like, nodules of fat that are attached to it along the length of it. Those are chelav tahor. They're not choice of krum v'niflas. But nevertheless, because of the way they're shaped, they don't effectively cover the the part over there, and therefore, if it's, and therefore, if it's, there's a hole in it, it's going to be traced. Yeah. But Amri lo, tarpesha de liver. Others say another example of it would be the tarpesha de liver, the fat around the heart. In medical ease, it's called the pericardium. So there's
what?
It's fat that covers the heart.
And it's
chelav tahor. It's not choice of krum v'niflas.
Why?
Because it's not choice of krum v'niflas. That's why. Because if it's not choice of krum v'niflas, then it's not chelav tahor. That's what we said before.
No.
However, because of the shape of it, it doesn't effectively cover up holes in the heart.
That will work.
Yeah. That's what we're saying. Okay. Omar Rabba. Shamik minadir of Nachman Tauti. There's slightly different opinions also. There's slightly different opinions here. We can see over here about the Tauti should deliver, what exactly the definition of it is and what exactly the problem with it is. You have the Beit Yosef. Says that it's specifically the pericardium, and then you have the layer of fat above the heart, which according to the Mechaber would be good, but according to the Rama, he says that the fat above the heart is also included in this. Okay, it's a machlokes haposkim about the pericardium, everybody agrees is no good, but then you have a bit of fat that sits above the heart that you have a machlokes haposkim, whether it works. The pericardium is fat.
No, the pericardium is not fat.
Okay, here you have fat in it.
Okay,
whatever. So that's considered whatever. That's what we mean. Okay. Onward. Okay. Amar Rabba, Shamit Mineh Rav Nachman Tarki. So Rabba says in this connection, I heard two dinim from Rav Nachman, who was his Rebbe, about certain areas of fat in the body. Chimsa or Bar Chimsa. One about something called the Chimsa and one called the Bar Chimsa. Both of those are areas of fat that are on the keva. That are on the keva, the fourth stomach, which is what we were dealing with before. One of them is called the chimsa, one of them is called the bar chimsa. Chad sosim b'chad loy sosim. He says, I heard from him, one of them closes up the hole, if there's a hole in the keva, the other one does not. I don't know which one is which. I don't know which one is the chimsa and which one is the bar chimsa. Which, by the way, Tosfos says, there we see that Rava changed his mind. Before he thought to say that even chelav tameh works. Now we see that he's saying that Rav Nachman told me that one kind works and one kind doesn't, implying that there's a difference between chelav, like we said before. Okay, so which one is which? Rav Huna bar Chinina of Rav Huna Breder of Nachman, Omar, Rav Huna bar Chinina and Rav Huna Breder of Nachman say, bar chimsa sosim, chimsa loy sosim. What it is like this. The part that's called the bar chimsa, that part, that kind of fat, that fat is the one that will close up the hole. The kind chimsa, the kind that's called, the part that's called chimsa, loy sosim, that won't be a good closing. Amar Rav Tavos, Rav Tavos says, how do you remember which one is which? Simonach is the famous expression, Yofa koyach haben, mikoyach ha'av. The son has a stronger position than the father. So here we can remember that bar chimsa, where bar means like the son of, like in bar mitzvah or whatever, is better than the chimsa. Okay, now what are the actual anatomical definitions? What is the chimsa? What is the bar chimsa? Hey chimsa ve hey bar chimsa. Toshma. We can prove like this. The Omer of Nachman, because of Nachman says like this, in whom mechol achim, we see that they, meaning the people, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, they eat this particular kind of fat. Uvedidan mistam nami lo sosim. So even we, fine, we in Bavo are machmer and we don't eat it. But should we go so far as saying that we're not even, that should we go so far as saying even that because it's also charged, it's not even going to close up the hole? In other words, what we should say is fine. We are machmer and we don't eat it. However, even though we're machmer and we don't eat it for whatever reason, that shouldn't be enough to say that it can't even close up a hole. We agree that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael have a right to eat it. We're not saying that they're eating treifus. Therefore, that means it has in principle it is chelav tahor. We have our reasons to be machmer on it. But nevertheless, that shouldn't mean that it shouldn't close up the hole. Which means, therefore, so now we have an exception in the other direction. Here we have something which Bnei Bavo will consider to be chelav tameh, in the sense that they themselves won't eat it. However, nevertheless, from Nachman is arguing, at least it closes up a hole. So therefore, now we understand, therefore, that the part where we're talking about, where we said the chimsa closes up a hole, the chimsa would be the kind of fat where Bnei Eretz Yisrael eat it and Bnei Bavel do not eat it. So now, what are those parts? So now we have to look at the shape of the, we have to look at the shape of the keva. So you have over here, and you have over here, the keva is shaped like a, it's shaped like a semicircle. And you have the outside of it is curved, the inside of it is also curved, but less so. So it looks a little bit, you could compare it sort of to the shape of a bow. So there's a, you have the curved part of the bow, and then you have the string of the bow. Each one of those has fat on it. So, da'akashta, so the, it, no, it, in other words, like, yeah, like a bow, like think of what a bow looks like when it has a string in it, that it has, you know, like you have a semicircular part, the wooden frame, and then you have a string, and so therefore, so the Gemara is comparing it, to think of it with something that's closer to our experience, think of it as like a letter D. The curved part is like you have the curved part of the D, and then you have the straight part.
And
both sides, both the straight part and the curved part have fat on it. Now, the fat that's on the greater curve, the fat that's on the curved side of the D, kula amalei tligid osir. Everybody would agree that fat is osir. Both Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael will agree it's osir because this is toast of krum v'nikla. Because Rashi explains the only if you look at the stomach over there. And what you have is like this: the only place where that fat is actually attached to the organ is on the middle of it, on the midline of it. You have the fat that's attached. The rest, on the rest of it, it's all spread out like a sheet.
Right here.
Here and here, yeah. So therefore, it's toast of krum v'nikla. No, not because it's round. No, not because it's round. That's what it said. No, that's peeled off easily. That it has a membrane over it and peels off easily. So fine, the part that's in the middle over there doesn't peel off easily because it's tightly attached. But the rest of it does. So even the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are not going to eat that part because it is toast of krum v'nikla. Ki pligi d'iyatra, the machloikis between the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael is regarding the fat on the yeser, on the straight side of the D, right, this over here. So that would be the machloikis. So like this. The reason behind the machlokes, Rashi says, is that like this. We learned before we had Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel. We had Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel. What the definition of chaylev is. So therefore, so Bnei Bavel will say, look, Rabbi Shmuel had said it has to be krum b'niklaf. It has to have a membrane and you can peel it off. Therefore, it should be osir. Rabbi Akiva is the one who added the part about choisav. This isn't choisav. This is not like spread out like a sheet. It's a solid piece over there like that. So therefore, whatever. The point is, it's not like a sheet of fat that comes off as one piece. So sorry.
Sure,
Choice would be this. No, they peel it off as a sheet. It comes off completely as a sheet. You can see also over here, it comes off completely as a sheet, but together with the membrane on it. The part over here on the yeser does not come off as one piece. However, it has a krum on it, and eventually you could peel it off. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's also, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it would not be also. So Bnei Bavel hold back Rabbi Shmuel in that regard. Bnei Eretz Yisrael hold back Rabbi Akiva. But therefore, so now Rabbi Nachman is telling us, even if we're going to hold, even if we Bnei Bavel hold like Rabbi Akiva, and are going to say it's also, we're not going to go so far as saying that it can't even seal up a hole. So that is the chimsa that we're saying, that even though we Bnei Bavel cannot eat it, nevertheless, if there's a hole in the keva at that point, then it will work to close it out. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion of the different minhagim goes like this: the iyastra kula amal deloy tligi. The part that's on the straight side, everybody agrees, is mutter. The shari, that's mutter. Ki pligi de akashta. According to the second version, the machlokes is actually about the fat that's on the curved side. That's on the round side.
The
iyastra means on the straight side, and the kashta means the right. So according to the second version, everybody agrees like Rabbi Akiva. So the one that's on the yes, they're on the straight side, fine. It's not toisav krum, it's not toisav, therefore everybody would say it's mutter. the part on the keshes, on the rounded side, the fact of the matter is you have, again, most of it is toista because most of it is like a sheet that can be peeled off, but you have that part along the middle where it's not, where it's tightly attached. So therefore, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are going to say that means that that fat is not oster. At least that particular part of the fat which is attached in that area is not oster, whereas Bnei Bavel will be machmir and say that it is.
On the basis of what?
On the basis of that, because the rest of it is Tosef Krum and Niklof, so therefore, so that part is also included as well.
After the removal?
This is before the removal.
So how do you know it can be removed?
Because you can. You can peel it off and take a kever sometime. Go to a shlachter and go ask him for a kever and try peeling it. What do you mean? This can be removed, but it's not Tosef. It's not spread out as one solid sheet. It's individual pieces. Little pieces. They have a Krum on top of them, but it's not Tosef. Okay, so both Rashi and Tosfos point out that this that Rav Nachman was saying. So Rashi says this that Rav Nachman was saying, we can't eat it, but shouldn't it at least close up a hole? That would only work according to the first lashon, because then what's the chimsa and what's the bar chimsa? Then both of them would be allowed to close a hole. And Rav Nachman himself clearly said before that only one of them is able to. The Tosfos says that actually what it is we could still use Rav Nachman's words from before, but then it wouldn't be a question, then it wouldn't be a rhetorical question, it would be a statement that they're allowed to eat it, but for us, we're machmir so much, not only we can't eat it, but it doesn't even close up a hole. Because again, he would say that the chimsa, the one on the inside, on the straight side, you're allowed to eat and it closes up a hole, but the one on the outside, fine, Bnei Eretz Yisrael eat it, we Bnei Bavel don't, and as far as we Bnei Bavel are concerned, it can't even close up a hole. No. It's a machlokas. Either according to the first version, do we follow Rabbi Shmuel or do we follow Rabbi Akiva? According to the second version, we definitely follow Rabbi Akiva. But do we say that once part of a sheet of fat is toast of krum and niklof and therefore is oster, then all of it is oster, which is what Bnei Bavel says, or do we distinguish within the same sheet of fat itself with part that is toast of versus the part that's not? Which is what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael would do according to the second verse. Tosef means that it's spread out like one solid sheet. That was Rabbi Akiva said that, yeah. Okay. Tosef actually mentions, Tosef references a Gemara in Pesachim that mentions a case where Rav Abba Chana visited, was originally from Bavel, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he was eating the fat on the Yesser, on the straight side. That would be according to the first version of it here, that it was the part on the Yesser, on the straight side, that Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Bavel
all did on. This part here?
Right. That's what we're saying. Now, according to that version, according to the first version that we had over here, Bnei Eretz Yisrael say it's okay, according to Rav Akiva, Bnei Bavel say no good, according to Rabbi Shmuel. You end up, by the way, with a machlokas rishonim on this topic. Who in the end do we follow? So the Rosh, for example, writes, we, Bnei Chutzbaretz, in general, we follow Bnei Bavel in pretty much everything. Therefore, we have to be machmir like Bnei Bavel. On the other hand, you have some of the rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam and others who say that we can follow the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and so now, continuing with the second version, and so now, going back to the first version, Rashi also mentions over here that since we're Bnei Goyla, since we live in Golos, and we have to follow the Bnei Bavel, because in general we always follow the Bavli versus the Yerushalmi, and therefore, and since the first Lashon is more Machmer, then we have to follow that. So it would come out that we wouldn't be able to eat either one, not the one on the round side and not the one on the straight side. So according to what we're saying over here, the one on the straight side would be soysen, even though we're not allowed to eat it, since it is in principle mutter, at least according to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to be so machmer on it and say that it can't be soysen, right? Going back to the first lashon, which was saying again that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael would eat the one on the yeser, the fat on the straight side of the kever. So ki ha the Amar of Ivya, Amar of Ami mekamsin. As we find that Rav Ivya said in the name of Rav Ami that what we have to do with that fat is mekamsin. Now Rav Ami is from Eretz Yisrael. Mekamsin means that. Now it is true that so what he says is like this: the fat on the yeser itself is mutter. However, you have other fat, which is osir, which rests right on top of that. Because you have the chalav of the kerev rests on that. Because here you have all the stomachs are covered with, you actually have two sheets of fat over there. In medical ease, they call them the greater omentum and the lesser omentum. So you have that the fat on the yester. You have what's on the yester, which would say bnei yisrael holds mutter. But then right above that, you have part of the whole sheet of fat that covers all of the inside, which is also. So therefore, makamsin, you have to take off that part, and then you're allowed to eat what's underneath it. But we see that they held that you're allowed to eat the part underneath it. And Rav Yana said the same thing in the name of an old Talmud Chacham, that all you have to do is Makamsin, and then you can eat the rest, as opposed to Bnei Bava would say you can't do that.
So for
Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that's what we would do.
Bnei Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Yeah, they eat what exactly?
So they would peel off, they would take off the Makamsin, they would take off the fat that's osur, that's above this fat on the yeser. And then they would eat the rat, and then they would eat the fat that was attached to the yeser itself. So Amar Rav Yivya says also in this connection, have a ka'imna tamed Rav Ami. One time I was standing in front of Rav Ami as a Talmud, come to, and sure enough, they took off the fat that was also, v'havulei, and they gave him a piece of fat from the yeser, v'achal, and he ate it. So you see again that it's mutter for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Another example, shamed Rav Chanina, have a koi kamed Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina's Mishoris, his attendant, was one time standing in front of him. Amalei, and Rav Chanina tells him the same thing, K'moi tavli de'ekel, take off the fat in that area that's osur, and give me some of the fat of the yeser to eat. Chazir to have a kamachasim. But then Rav Chanina saw that the Mishoris is he's hesitating. I'm going to feed him treifus. Amalei, Rav Chanina tells him, Bavloah, look at this. You must be from Bavel that you have this topic that you're saying, how could I possibly give it to Rav Chanina? I'd be giving him traces. In that case, fine, gum shoddy. In that case, cut it completely off and throw it away because you hold that there's an issur in it, and therefore you're right. I'm not gonna make you give it to me, which according to your minhag of where you come from, according to your shit. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Sachin mentions this in connection with the whole concept that when you move to a new place, you have to follow the minhagim of the place that you right, and that sometimes even actually I think the Gemara continues over there in Sachin that you had some other chachamim from Bavel visited Rav Baba Chana while he was eating the chela from the yester, and he covered it up. He didn't want them to see him eating it. Because the Gemara says over there that the Gemara mentions over there about kusim actually that you don't want to be makel on minhagim in front of them because then they're going to think that b'chlal you can be makel with things. The Gemara says it's so to speak, he treated them like kusim, like he doesn't want to make it obvious that he's not following their minhag because they're going to start having all kinds of questions. Okay.
What do we do? We don't eat.
So in practice, I believe the halacha is accepted like the opinions like Rashi over here and the Rosh that says that we follow Bnei Bavel in everything, and therefore that would mean both of them are. Okay. That's all in the back half of the animal, yeah. So anyways, I mean, and anyway, kish just don't usually get eaten nowadays much anyway, so yeah. Okay.
But you're saying that if you want the fat, that is very dangerous.
No, I don't know by itself.
Fat is
possible. Oh, well, okay. We're not talking about he's going to eat pounds and pounds of it. You know, he's going to have, I don't know, he's going to take a little of it and make him schmaltz and spread it on a sandwich. I don't know, you know, whatever. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Tanya, we learned in a bright. So getting back to the matter of holes in organs. Reb Shimon Gamlielimer, Bnei Me'ayim Shenikvu, suppose you have a hole in the intestines, the Lecha Seitamton, but you have the Lecha, the moist stuff, the mucus-like stuff that's on the inside of the intestines, closes up the hole, Shera. Then Reb Shimon Gamliel says the animal is kosher. That's inside it. One second. My lecha. What kind of moist stuff do we mean? Omer of Kahana, shuka d'me'ayah means the mucus like stuff that's stuck on the inside of the intestines. The nofik agav duchka, where if you press on it, then you can get it out. You have to press on it to get it out. So in other words, here's a picture of it. Here's a color picture of it. I'll show you in a second. So you have there's a piece. This is actually the duodenum, but this is the beginning of the bnei me'ayim. You have this mucus-like layer inside, and you can use a knife. You can use a knife to scrape it away. So, if you're going to eat the kishkis, if you're going to eat the kishkes, you would scrape off that stuff before you eat them. Back in the old days, when they made you eat kishka on Shabbos, they don't package it in an actual kishka. They package it in plastic or whatever. But in the old days, they used the real honest to goodness kishka. I think some of us, by the way, may know the story about the Tsar and the Kaiser in that connection. If you don't know, then remind me. I'll tell it afterwards. But the famous Chassidish story that's told at Fabrengen's with a message in it. Anyway, the point is that we're saying that mucus-like stuff inside the intestines, which you scrape away in order to be able to eat them, that stuff, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if there's a hole in the intestines, then that stuff is considered a good sealant for it, and therefore the animals can't.
Why do we remove it? Why we don't eat it?
Because it's disgusting stuff. It's mucus-like, whatever. I mean, nowadays nobody eats intestines anyway, but even in the old days. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara continues. Gmiri Chavraya de Rav Abba Merab Abba. So Rav Abba's colleagues learnt from him the following statement. And Rashi points out there's two different Rav Abbas over here that we're gonna have. So Gmiri Chavraya de Rav Abba Merab Abba. The colleagues of Rav Abba learnt from Rav Abba. Umanu. And which colleagues do we mean specifically? Rav Zera. But Amri law, or another version, is Chavraya de Rav Zera min Rav Zera. According to the second version, Rav Zera's colleagues learned this next din that we're going to talk about from Rav Zera, Umanu, Rav Abba, and that would be Rav Abba. So we have two different Rav Abbas over here. There's a Rav Abba who was a colleague of Rav Zera, and then there was a, and then there was a different Rav Abba who was the father of Rav Chiya ba Abba. That braid Rav Chiya ba Abba. Hachi Amar Rav Chiya ba Abba Amar Rav Yechanan. Halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel b'treifa. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as far as treifa, as far as what we just said about the mucus inside the intestines. The halacha ki Rav Shimon be'evil. And also, by the way, he mentioned you should know the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as far as the particular din of Avelis. Halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel b'treifa hoda amaran. We just said this din that he said about the mucus on the intestines that it causes the hole. Ki Rav Shimon be'evil ma'i. What's Rav Shimon's opinion about Avelus, which Rav Yechanan is telling us that halacha is like him? So like this, it's not, so the Tanya really is a braisa. Now there's a concept in halacha called, you have shmur kroiva versus shmur rechoiva. You have a person can hear about that one of their close relatives that they have to sit shiva for has died, Rahman al-Aslan. If they hear of it within a certain amount of time, then it's called Shmur Kroiva, and then they have to sit a full seven days of Avelus. Then you could have, let's say they only heard about it a month or a year or years or whatever later. That's called Shmur Kroiva. Shmur Kroiva is, I think, within 30 days. Yeah. Then you have Shmur Rechoika, where he only heard about it like weeks or year or months or years or whatever later, where then he only has to sit shiva for a short amount of time. But now here's a din related to that. Kol shloshi yom. Now, what if you have, for example, that somebody passed away, his relatives in town, of course, knew about it right away. Meanwhile, you have somebody else who was out of town, and he only found about it sometime later. So it depends. Kol shloshi yom harishonim. So during the first 3 days, now the first 3 days are the most intense avails. After we just had Yud Shas, actually, the first in the Lechut Sichas, you have the first Sichas that the Rebbe spoke about, that the Rebbe spoke after Yud Shas, Tavshin Yud, he said, on Yud Dalad Shas, he sits down with the Chassidim, and he says, you know, the din is Shlosh Lebchi, you have 3 days for crying, so now that's over, so now we're still doing Shiva, we can't talk to the Rebbe Torah, and therefore he started telling over stories of the Friedrich Rebbe. You can find him in Lechut Sichas, Chelik Beis, and the Hosafos, there's a couple of dozen stories that the Rebbe told during the rest of the days of Shiva about the Friedrich Rebbe. Anyway, so the first 3 days are the most intense avelus. So during those 3 days, Bami Makam Korev, if the other relative came from someplace nearby meaning he's less than 1 day's trip away, so therefore he could have found out even on the day it happened. Lamai say he didn't for whatever reason. But nevertheless, Moina Imahin, nevertheless, he can still count his days of avelus with them. In other words, what it comes out is, let's say, for example, so the person passed away on Sunday. This guy shows up, and then they buried him, let's say, that same day. This guy shows up on Monday or on Tuesday. So we're saying his shiva, like, or you know what, let's not say Sunday, because then shiva will be over on Shabbos. That's confusing. Let's say the guy passed away on Tuesday. Let's say the guy passed away on Tuesday. This guy shows up in the shiva house on Wednesday afternoon or on Thursday. So we're saying his Avelus will end on Monday together with them.
Right.
He's not keeping full 7 days. Doesn't matter. He was less than 1 day away. He could have known about it. Therefore, he doesn't have to travel full 7 days of Avelus. He can count together with them.
Because
he was close enough. He was within 1 day. And he could have found out. No, forget about actually. I shouldn't have mentioned Shmuel Kreger, really, because that's actually another matter. But the point is, in other words, he keeps the shorter Avelus. He's only going to be sitting with them in the end now, Thursday, Friday. Okay, Shabbos is not available for him. He'll to Shabbos Sunday, and then he'll get up Monday morning. That's fine. Mimakim Rochay, but if he's coming from a further away place where he couldn't possibly have found out the same day anyway, then Moinu L'Achme, then he has to count the days of Shiva himself. So if, let's say, for example, continuing our scenario, the guy was Nifter and buried on Tuesday. He came on Thursday, but he had been in a Mokum Rochus. He had been more than a day's trip away. He would have to start his Shiva on Thursday, and he will get up on Wednesday, even though the rest of his relatives have gotten up on Monday.
He will count 7 days.
He will have to count full 7 days. Mikan Ve'elach, what? Hold on. That's where we're going to have different opinions. Mikan Ve'elach, if he comes after the first 3 days, afilu ba mimakam karev, even if he's coming from a close place, moina la'asme, then he still has to count for himself. So if he comes on Friday, for example, doesn't matter whether he had been in makam karev or makam rachas, either way, he's going to have to start sitting on Friday and get up only the following Thursday morning, even though everybody else got up Monday morning. That's according to the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon says no. Afilu b'yom ha'shvi'i, ba mimakom karov. Even if he came only on the seventh day, but he came from a makom karov, he was in a place where he was less than a day's trip away. He could have heard about it on that day. He just didn't for whatever reason. So he only shows up on the seventh day of Shiva. He only shows up Monday morning. Nevertheless, moina imahem, then he can still count with them. In other words, he gets up the same time as they do. So even he was in a makam karev, Reb Shimon is saying, and he only shows up on Friday or on Sunday or even on Monday morning, he can still sit whatever's left of Shiva together with him.
But if he's far away,
because the logic is, Rashi says, because he could have known that day. So even though he didn't find out about it, nevertheless, Avelus was chal on him. So according to the Tanakhama, it only works if it's within the first 3 days. According to Reb Shimon, throughout the whole 7 days. But if he was in a makom rachos, where there was no way of him finding out that day that his karev passed away anyway, then he would have to count full 7 days of Shiva for himself anyway. Okay. So that's Reb Shimon's opinion. Amar mandahu. So there was that's what we just said, the halacha like Reb Shimon. Whether that's the bottom line halacha, hold on. One of the Talmidim in the yeshiva said, and Rashi says that when they were writing the Gemara, they knew that one of the Talmidim had said this. They couldn't remember his name, so they just said somebody. Anyway, so one of the Talmidim said, Ezke Halavai, I should have the schus, the Asaf, that I should be able to go up to Eretz Yisrael, the Azmer L'Shmaitim Puma Gemara, that I should be able to learn this statement of Reb Chiya Bar Abba directly from the one who said it. Directly from Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiya Bar Abba. In other words, it's very nice to hear a report of it in Babel, that they came and tell us that Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiya Bar Abba, said this. Halavai, I should have this course to go to Eretz Yisrael and hear it from him personally. He saw this, so when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, sure enough, Ashkel Rab Abba, Breda Rab Chiya Bar Abba. He met up with Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiya Bar Abba. Amalei, so he asked him, Amar Mar Halacha Kerub Shimon Gamliel B'Shefa, did you actually say that Halacha is a Kerub Shimon Gamliel B'Shefa? As we learned the other day, sometimes you have reports about what somebody said and they got it wrong, they wanted to clarify it. Amalei, Ha'en Halacha Amri. No, by that one I actually said that Halacha is not like him when it comes to Shefa. What about Kerub Shimon B'Evel Mai? What about when it comes to Kerub Shimon in Halacha Ravelus? Amalei plugged in minu. So Rav Abba tells him, actually, that one is a machloikas of Amiroyim, whether the halacha is like Rav Shimon or not. The Itmar, because we have a statement about that. Rav Chista Amar Halacha, that Rav Chista says, yes, the halacha is like Rav Shimon in that. V'chein Amar Rav Yechanan Halacha. Rav Yechanan also says the halacha is like Rav Shimon. V'Rav Nachman Amar Ein Halacha. However, Rav Nachman says the halacha is not like Rav Shimon in that. So what's the bottom line halacha? So, V'Ein Halacha to Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa. The bottom line is, when it comes to Tshreifas, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So that mucusy stuff inside the intestines is not a good sealant. Because, no, not because it's not kosher, but because it's too weak. It's only like mucus. It's not like fat or something which sticks solidly. It's just a mucusy stuff. So it's not good enough to seal up a hole. But the halacha could have shimon be'evil. But when it comes to the din of avelus, yes, the halacha is like a shimon because the omer shmuel halacha could differ from meikol be'evil. Because when it comes to din of avelus, we have a general rule that Shmuel said, whenever you have a machlokes in the din of avelus, the halacha is always like the opinion that's meikol.
So therefore,
he doesn't have to count 7 full days. You just have to finish up the other available switch.
If he
comes after the shiva, then yeah, then he's going
to
have to sit.
Then he has to sit shiva.
During the shiva. And again, only if he was in the Makam Korev, right. If he was in Makam Rachel, then it doesn't apply, right. Makam Korev, by the way, Makam Korev in particular means if he's anywhere within 10 parasa. Because the average person can walk 10 paris in a day.
Today, that's called
Makam Korev. The pastures, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah.
10 miles?
Then, no, but paris is more than a mile. Paris is like 2.5 or 3 miles. You're talking about 25, 30 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is an interesting thing that Ivan says about it. The reason why the Tanakhama would say 3 days, not so much because of this idea about the 3 days being the most intense avelus, but for a different reason. Imagine, for example, that the nifter passed away and was buried in close to the evening. So when somebody is going to go tell him, they're not going to leave that evening. You don't travel at night. You're supposed to leave the kitoy, the yates of the kitoy. So he's going to leave the next morning. It'll take him a day to get there. He'll inform the guy. So in this case, the guy was nifter Tuesday evening. So he'll go and inform the relative Wednesday evening. Again, the guy is not going to start traveling Wednesday evening for the same reason. He'll start traveling Thursday morning, and he'll get there Thursday evening before the 3 days are up. So therefore, that's the reason why the Tanakhama would say that then he can continue the avelus with them, as opposed to otherwise he would have to start his own shiva, whereas your shimon doesn't make that distinction. Okay. Fine. Getting back to Chasis. Omer of Shimi Bachia.
So the halacha
is like Rav Shimon. The halacha is like Rav Shimon as far as this particular din of avelus. Because when it comes to avelus, we always go according to the opinion that's most meikol.
Okay.
And Chabad is meikol. What's Chabad? We all have the same shulchan aruch.
I know.
Okay, so that's how it is. All
right.
Yeah, fine. The Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch doesn't have Hilchos Avelus in it anyway. Okay. The Pashas, the Alter Rebbe wrote it. He wrote all four parts, the Pashas, but we only have most of Aruch Chaim and bits and pieces of Yerodea, and then you have his summaries of various parts of Kosh Mishpah. We have nothing at all from Evan Ezer except for Shiloh Tetrum.
We know.
But, the Alter Rebbe's sons mentioned in their Hakdamah to Shulchan Aruch that he had written the whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, so most of Yerodea is gone, including Hilchos Avelus. It was destroyed in fires. Okay, let's go on. Omer of Shimi Bachia, Makifin Bibnei Me'ayim. You're allowed to compare, going back to talking about the Kishkis, you're allowed to compare when it comes to the Kishkis. Now, we talked about the other day that you can have with the lungs, you find a hole in the lung, and there's reason to think that it may not have been there when the animal was alive, but rather that it was caused when the Bojit was checking the lungs after the Shechita. Well, then obviously, if that's the case, it's not true. So now we have a similar thing. You find a hole somewhere in the intestines. You don't know whether that hole existed when the animal was alive, in which case it would be chafe if there's nothing to seal it, if there's no fat over there to seal it up, or if it happened after the animal was shefted, in which case there's no problem. So what do? You can compare. What you do is you take the intestines, you make another hole nearby, and you look and see, do the two holes look similar? If they look similar, then yeah, but the second one was made after the animal was shechted, so the first one must also then. If not, if they look different, then it means the color, the shape, or whatever, yeah.
You make
a second hole over there, and you compare the two of them. So here's a case. Hanu b'nei me'ayim de'osu l'kamei de'rava. So a case was brought to Rava with a shayla, with an animal that had a puncture in the intestines. Aksinu, so he did that. He made another hole and compared them. Below Yidmu, but they didn't look the same. So he thought to say it's Jay. However, also the Masharshia Bray, however, the Masharshia, Rava's son, came, Mimash Mishkahu, and he started handling and rubbing or whatever with his fingers the holes, the Idmu, and then they looked alike. In which case, then it should be kosher. Amale, so Rava tells him, Minolacha, where'd you get that idea? That's the thing to do? Amale, so the Masharshia tells him, it's a very logical thing. Kama yodi mamash mishu bahani, kama delay sila kame. Think of how many hands have handled these intestines already with the hole on it before it was brought to you. In other words, Yeah, when the animal was shechted, you had somebody handling the intestines to take them out of the animal. You had people are looking at it, there's a hole in it, what do we do? And they're putting their fingers all over it. So I'm a fascist, and if you're making another hole, you have to do the same thing. You also have to have your fingers everywhere on it to see if it's the same. Amalei, so Rava was very impressed. He says to him, Chakim Bri B'Tshefes Kirav Yechanan. My son is as wise in the Dinim of Tshefes as Rav Yechanan. We had that expression earlier in the Masechta, actually, we had in the second parak. Rava said it about another one of his sons, but here, so it actually gives two explanations. Either he means you're as great in Hilchot Tshefes as Rav Yechanan is B'chol HaTorah Kolah, or he means specifically in Tshefes, Rav Yechanan was known to be a great expert in Tshefes. We have later on in the Masechta that we have mentioned of that. So therefore, he means you're just as expert in that as Rav Yechanan. Either way, it was meant as a very high compliment. And that's taka the halacha, that if you have, there's a hole in the intestines, but if taka that hole has been handled by various hands, then you taka after, maybe you have to do the same to the second hole before you compare them. Okay.
How long do you estimate?
However long you figure it was, yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, so now that's talking about the intestines. What about comparing within other organs of the body? Let's talk about that. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Da'amit Tavayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar say, they both say that you have a similar din as far as the lung, but they say you can do the same kind of thing when it comes to the lung. Again, same idea. You have a hole in the lung where there's reason to think that the hole may have been caused by the boidus or by whoever handled the lungs. Same kind of thing. You can make a hole. You can make another hole and compare. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says there's a detail in that. Loy amoran ela ba'osa aruga. That would only work if you're comparing within the same aruga. Now, aruga means like this. When we learned about the lungs the other day, we talked about that there are lobes on one side and there are lobes on the other side. Each of those sides is called an aruga. Aruga literally means like a bed. Aruga literally means like a bed, like where you plant vegetables or whatever. So here it's used, like so to speak, like the lobes are growing out of that side of the lung. So Robert is saying you can only...
Strictly speaking, what's an aruga?
Aruga means, that's what I'm saying. Strictly speaking, the word aruga in Gemara terminology means a bed, means like a bed, like in a garden or something, a garden plot where you plant different vegetables or whatever. So here we use it in a transitive sense, meaning like, so to speak, the lobes grow out of that side of the lung. So therefore, the Robert is saying, you can only, when you're doing that, if you're going to compare from one hole to another, you can only do it within the same side of the lung. But to do from one, to compare from one side to the other, that you can't do. But the halacha is, no, you can even compare from one side to another.
One second,
we're going to talk about it in a second. Rashi has two explanations over here. Midaka ladaka or migasa lagasa, you could even compare from one behemoth daka, from let's say a sheep, to another behemoth daka, another sheep, or another goat. But you can't make comparisons between a large animal like a cow versus a small animal like a sheep in either direction, because with those, the holes are going to look completely different. Now, Rashi, what we just said is Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi says that, no, when we say over here, aruga, what we mean is first of all, Rashi says gasa and daka doesn't mean the different kinds of animals. Gasa would mean the large lobes at the bottom that we call in halacha the uma. Daka would be the smaller lobes over here that we're calling una. And Rashi says actually, so what it means is the first explanation would amount to that you're able to take a different animal and compare within the lung. Now Rashi is saying that no, what it means is even within the same animal itself, you can't compare from one part of the lung to the different parts or a different part. You can compare from one small lobe to another one, even if they're on opposite sides, but not from a big one to a small one or whatever, because holes in them are not necessarily going to look the same. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that if it meant Uma versus Una, then it would use the word Tana and Gdola. If it uses the word Gasa and Daka, says Rabbeinu Chananel, it must mean, like Rashi's first explanation, that it means large animals versus small animals. Okay. Fine. So that's as far as lungs, that's how you would go about making the comparison. That's Rashi's second explanation. Right. Abaya the Rava Dami Tavayu. Now Abaya and Rava both say, here's another din, as far as comparing, again, when you find holes and trying to figure out whether the hole was made before the animal was shechted or after. They say, Makifin Bekone. You're allowed to, by the same token, you're allowed to make comparisons within the Kone. So if you find a hole in the kaneh, in the windpipe, same idea. You can make another hole, and you can make another hole, and you see whether they look the same. You can see again. You'll see whether the
cover.
Who said anything about covering it? We're not talking about covering anymore. We're talking about that you have a hole over there. We learned before. We learned all the way at the beginning of the parak. Actually, we learned in the second parak as well, that a hole in the kaneh makes the animal chase only if it covers most of the circumference of the kaneh. Or we talk about if there's a hole where there's actual substance missing, then if it's the size of an ister, which is a certain size coin, so less than that, it won't make it chase. So similarly, you have a case. You have a hole like that. It's big enough that it would make the animal chase, but you're not sure if it was made while the animal was alive or not. Same idea. You make another hole and compare them and see whether they look the same. You can see whether the first hole looks like it started to try to heal, or whether it looks like there's blood around it, or whatever differences there might be between one and the other.
But when you make a hole when the animal is alive, as opposed to when it's dead, it's not going to come out for the same thing.
You shechted the animal, and after you shechted it, when you're being boited it, you find a hole in the windpipe. So now you're not sure, was this hole there while the animal was alive?
Right.
In which case, if that hole is large enough, the animal is safe. Or nemela, technically, even
right.
Whatever. Or was this hole only made after it was shechted? Somebody was careless in the schlachtoys or whatever and accidentally punctured it. So you make another hole nearby and compare the two of them and see if they look similar.
So they won't look similar because you're making the hole after the animal is shechted.
The first one also may have been, if the first one was made after
the animal. If the first one was not.
That's when you'll see they look different. Then you'll know that the first one may well have been there while the animal was alive. That's straight. That's the whole point. It's comparing. That's the whole point of comparing. Amar Papa Layamaran Elabaisachulia. So Papa says the comparison can be only within the same chulia. Now, we've learned before about the choyas. You have the windpipe has a bunch of rings of cartilage around it. So before we learned, earlier in our parak, we learned about the term choya, and we said that actually what it meant is a group of three rings like that. Because Rashi points out, one ring by itself is not large enough to have, if you have one of the cases where the animal might be treif is where you have a hole large enough for an iser, one ring is not going to be big enough to be the size of an ether anyway. So it means that you're talking about a hole that goes through
three rings.
So you're talking about a hole that goes through a couple of rings. So by the same token, what you do is you make another hole nearby and you compare through a couple of rings nearby and you see. But you can only compare
So it's going to be too far.
That's the point. That's why he's saying you can only compare within the same cholia. But you cannot compare across cholias. You have to do the second hole within the same group of three rings as the original hole was. However, the halacha is not like that. You can make the comparison between one cholia, between one group of three and another. You can also make the comparison between one bar cholia and the other bar cholia. Okay, so the bar cholia is like this. You can see over here, we've learned before, that... Okay, so we'll also have the diagrams over here. We'll also have the pictures over here. So you have each cholia, each of these rings of cartilage that goes around the windpipe has a thicker side and a thinner side. It's thicker on the side towards the front of the neck. And then it thins out as it goes towards the back, and you have a part over there where it's held together with cartilage, not with cartilage, where it's held together with muscle. Basically, we've learned before, the reason behind that is because you have the vesh, the esophagus is right there next to it. Sometimes the esophagus has to expand when you're eating a lot of food, so therefore the windpipe needs to shrink a little bit, and therefore these rings are made in such a way that they can contract a little bit. So what we're saying is you can compare from the cholia to the cholia, you can compare from the bar cholia to the bar cholia. So if you have, the bar cholia would be the thinner part, where it thins out. So you take the kaneh, you divide it in half, you divide it in half, you do like this. This part is called the cholia, this part where it's thinner is called the bar cholia. So therefore, what you do is, so if you have a hole in one part of the cholia, then you make another hole in that same part of the cholia and compare them to see whether they're the same. Same thing, if the original hole was in the bar cholia, you make another hole in the bar cholia. But you cannot compare the bar cholia, because again, the holes aren't necessarily going to look the same, because one part is thicker and the other part is thinner. So if the original hole was in the thin part, then you have to do the second hole for comparison also in the thin part, and the same thing with the thick part, but not to compare across it. Okay. All right. Omar Ze'iri says a din like this, talking more about dinim of holes in in internal organs. Chalcholas shenikva ksheira. If the chalcholas, which is the rectum, has a hole in it, then the animal. Yeah, that's the modern chalcholas. I think is the modern. I think in modern Hebrew they call it chalcholas. I don't know, but yeah, it's it actually says it's the cow kasher. We had before chiti the cow kasher. We had before the little grain shaped things of fat that are on it. So chalcholas is another name for it. Yeah. So okay. So if the chalcholas, if the rectum has a hole in it, says the Iri, then kshera, the animal is kosher. Because the muscles of the thighs hold it in place. In other words, what would be the reason why? What's in general the reason? Throughout all this discussion, when we've been talking about the holes in various internal organs, especially in the digestive system, why does it make the animal chase? Because then you have food or waste or whatever leaks out into the inside of the body, and it causes all kinds of problems. Here you have, at this point, when you're dealing with the rectum, which is right before it leaves the animal, at that point, it's surrounded by the muscles, of the thighs. Even if there's a hole over there, nothing's leaking out into the body cavity because it's kept in place by the muscles surrounding it. So therefore, it's kosher. The kama. Now, how much of it can be missing and the animal is still kosher? It's like this. You have to distinguish between different parts of it. Mokum hadovik, you have the part where it's attached to the thighs. In that place, berubai, then even if most of the circumference of it is missing, then it'll still be kosher because again, nothing's going to be able to leak out into the body cavity because it's very tightly wedged in over there between you have the spine on one side and you have the hip bones and whatever on the other side, and therefore it'll keep everything in where it's supposed to be. As opposed to in the place where it's not tightly attached on over there, then even a small hole will make it straight. So here's some pictures over here. So here's some pictures. I'll show you in a second, or if you want to lean over here and take a look. So this is the Mokum HaDovek over here. This is the area where it's tightly attached between, like Rashi says, it's wedged between all the different bones over there. So at that point, they're reporting that even if even if you have a hole of it where it's been cut away around most of the circumference, then it'll be kosher. As opposed to if, let's say, over here, it's not the Mokum HaDovek, it's not so tightly attached between everything, then even a small hole will make it change. Because then stuff will leak out over there. So the Chachmei HaYeshiva told that over to Rava, saying that in the name of Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman had said this, Omar, but Rava said, no, Lav mi amina, haven't I told you before, Lav mi amina lachu, haven't I told you before, Latis lebeg bufi sriki, didn't I tell you before you should not hang empty jugs on Rav Nachman, hanging empty jugs on somebody as a figure of speech, meaning like to attribute to him things that are not true. Fake news, as they call it nowadays. Hachi Amar Rav Nachman, you should know, this is what Rav Nachman said. The actual din is as follows. Mokum HaDovek, the area where it's wedged between everything else, not only like you said that only if most of the circumference is cut, then it's still okay. Rav Nachman actually said, even if all of that is missing, it's kosher. So that you have over here, literally a whole piece of it has been removed. Because it won't leak out of it at the point, because it's wedged in between No. Again. There's this part over here where it's wedged in, Mokum HaDovek, and then you have this part. Right. This part, for sure, yeah, small hole and it'll make it straight because it'll leak out. Mm-hmm. This part over here, the Chachamim were reporting to Rava that Rav Nachman had said only if it's cut around most of the circumference is kosher. But in other words, implying if some of it was actually missing, they would hold it straight. Rava tells them that's not what Rav Nachman said. Even if a whole part of it is missing, then the animal is in that area where it's wedged in, then it's still kosher. Provided that you have enough of it left, the amount that you can grab onto. The kam of hit vakama, what's considered kadetfisa? Amrabaya kimloi bakda vitola. When it comes to an ox, the amount is a bakda. Now, what is a bakda? Rashi says that it means one finger's size. And you have different opinions of Rishonim who say that it means two or four fingers. You have a machlokes Rishonim how exactly to understand what Rav Nachman is saying that even if all of it is removed, you still have to have today tfisa of the parts that could have been removed. And then you have another explanation, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ra'ah, to distinguish between three different places. There's a place where today there's mashu, a place where even if all of it is removed, and then you have an area where there has to be today tfisa yad. And then on top of that, you have the machlokes, what is tfisat yad, whether it's one or two or four etzbos. And Shulchan Aruch brings four etzbos, and when it says it, that's what we're talking about in an ox, and you scale it down to the size of the animal. So four etzbos in a large ox, and then it would be a proportionally smaller amount in a sheep or a goat or what have you. If there's four etzbos left of it, then it's kosher, even if that's an ox. If there's less than that, it depends on the size of the animal.
No,
that's the court. That's what we just said. As long as there's left in Kedei Tfisa, there still has to be, again, I'm saying you have a Macholikas Rishonim, you have the Rashba versus the Ra'ah versus other Rishonim, what exactly we mean over here. But basically what we're saying is that there's some part over here that has to be left Kedei Tfisa, that has to be left enough to grab onto. And that amount that has to be left is a Basda, which is one or two or four Esbos in a Shur, and scaled down from that in smaller animals.
Yeah.